Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name. Jesus, help me to bless that wonderful name. Whoa, no other name. Come on and bless that wonderful name. Help me to bless that wonderful name. Oh, bless that wonderful name. Oh, no other name. There is power in the name. There is power in the name of. There is power in the name. Oh, no other name. There is healing in the name of. There is healing in the name of. Come on, sanctified folks. Healing's in the name of. Oh, no other name. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Hallelujah, yes, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Satan. Hey, tell me, who can stand? Oh, when call on his great name, Jesus, Jesus, oh, we have the victory. Oh, I know it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, we have. Hallelujah, yes, it's in the name of Jesus. Satan will have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand when we call on him? Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, we have the victory. Oh, and what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God, hallelujah. Oh, the angels bow before him. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, and Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God. Oh, the angels bow before him. What a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. All the angels bow before him. What a mighty God. I came to glorify his name. I come to glory. I come to glorify his name. I come to glorify. Glorify his name. Oh, help me to glorify his name. Help me to glorify his name. Help me to glorify the name of the Lord. Glorify. Oh, it's good to glorify. Glorify. Glorify his name. Glorify the name of the Lord. Glorify his name. Hallelujah. 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 Just take somebody by the hand and say, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Turn and tell somebody else, say, there's something about that name. The name of the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless the Lord today for that wonderful song. That melody, that took me way, way back, Bishop Patterson.
Way back.
Hallelujah.
Way back.
You know, we don't hear those kind of songs in our modern contemporary services today. You know, we want some Kirk Franklin, and you know, we want some Fred Hampton. Oh, but baby, guess what? When you go back to the old landmark, hey, glory to God, there's some of those songs with power. Amen. Power was in the saints. Power was in the building. Oh, God, I bless you for that old school. Call me Throwback Thursday today. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I get excited when I hear those kind of songs. I tell you, that was Bishop Mark Moore out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wonderful man of God. Had the pleasure of meeting him some years ago, Bishop Mark Moore Sr. That was the dad there, and he has a son that's preaching the gospel too. Anyway, we thank God. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I thank God for another opportunity to be in the land of the living, another opportunity to give him some praise. Hallelujah, because God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. I'm so glad to see Evangelist Earlene Cummings with us out of Los Angeles, California. Hallelujah. As we're talking about old school, my mind just goes right on back to Los Angeles. Amen. That's where I got born again. Amen. And this wonderful woman of God has been serving the Lord a long time. I worked alongside her in the beauty salon. She's a cosmetologist, and she's still there chugging along, still have some of the customers that I had. When I left Los Angeles, they stayed right with Evangelist Cummings. So I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have friends, amen, that you didn't have no fallout with. Hey, hallelujah. Friends that you can throw back to, reach back to, and say, never had no ill words. Amen. Everything was lovely. You know, and that's what God is looking for today. And we're just so excited. Speaker today, I tell you, we embraced him some months ago, and you know, he just have a warm, one of those old spirits, you know, that's inciting, that's engaging. Amen. It's no strangers this man of God meet. Everybody he meet as though he's met him and known him all of his life. That's the kind of spirit he has. So you know, those are the spirits that God is looking for us to be lovers of one another, for us to network and work with one another in peace and in harmony. You know, there's no competition when you love the Lord, because we all serve in the same master. Amen. And we all working for the same goal. Amen, amen. I know I want a seat in the kingdom. I don't know about you all, but I'm working to get a seat. Hey, hallelujah. Somebody said I don't care how I get in, long as I get in. Well, that's not my testimony. Hallelujah. I want to get in where the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I just don't want to slide in like a basement. Hallelujah, taking a base. Hey, glory to God. But you have to work out your own soul salvation. So I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for even this topic on this week, talking about protecting your anointing. Amen. How many know you got to protect your anointing today?
You got to protect it.
Hallelujah. Because the enemy has crept in. He has crept in. Hallelujah. And God said in his word, if it was possible, he would be able to deceive the very elect. So we better know. You better protect this anointing. If you are anointed, hallelujah, and God has called you as one of his own, you better do everything within your power to protect this anointing. Amen, amen. So with no further ado, we're going to get right on into, because I'm anxious to hear what the Spirit is saying through the man of God today, and we are again excited about him being here today. And I'm going to ask Evangelist Cummins to just open up with the word of prayer, and then the next voice you'll hear will be our speaker, our facilitator, our empowermentalist, Dr. Corinthus Patterson of Durham, North Carolina. We love him. By way of Detroit, I think, are you a Chicagoan?
Chicago.
Chicago. Wow, have mercy. Yeah. I tell you, God is doing something for Chicago natives that are in other areas. I'm telling you, God, I just have been meeting so many people from Chicago, and I met Dr. Patterson through way of Minister Billy Burns and Elder Burns.
Yes.
And Billy
right.
is from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we just bless the Lord for that. But I'm going to let Evangelist Cummins, are you able to open up with the word of prayer, or are you working?
Okay. Father God, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to have the strength, the life, the Holy Ghost that leads and guides in all truth and righteousness. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We know that if it don't be done, we know you are still able. We ask you to bless the broadcast today. Open up our ears that we might be able to hear. Not only hear, Lord, but apply that, what we hear. Let us hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against thee.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you for all situations, knowing that you are able. In the name of Jesus, bless this radio broadcast. Bless Evangelist Adrian Bernard, Lord God. Bless the speaker today.
Yes,
and Lord,
Lord
God, let us hear and let us receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dr. Patterson, we love you.
Yes, yes. Love you too. Like I told you earlier, you're the stuff now. You're the stuff.
Please.
God is best you see.
I just laughed. I said, Lord, I wish I felt that way.
Well, you know, I'm always excited. I'm honored to be on this and to be a part of this ministry, because we're part of the Adrian Bernard crusade ministry and whatever she's doing. We are a part of it, and I'm excited about it. I'm thanking God for and to show that we're a part of it, and soon we'll be sowing into it. A lot of people say, I'm with you.
Yeah.
One of the ways that you validate people that you're with is by sowing into their lives.
Mm.
And one thing the Lord showed me a lot of time, we hear sermons all the time. One of the ways to affirm a sermon and to affirm a prophetic word into your life is by using the seed to let it. And if you plant that seed in the name of that sermon or in the name of that word for you, not only will the seed grow, but there is growth when the seed is planted. So if you name that seed, that prophetic word or that word that you receive, a lot of people, we do ourselves an injustice to the man or woman of God or preach a great sermon, even though we give offering to pay our tithes. But if that sermon hits you, you ought to put something in your hand. I don't care if it's a penny, if that's all you have. I'm confirming this word that you spoke to me today, and I'm confirming it with a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts the process. And then if you start believing, that starts the process of things, prophetic words, experiences, things that you desire to growing in your life. So it's time for us to utilize, because remember what the scripture said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. So in other words, as long as the earth remains, whenever you plant a seed, good or bad, there will be a harvest. So we need to understand that. So that's why, and one of the ways, and this subject matter, evangelist, we can talk about it for the next year. Protecting the anointing. There's so many angles, and I know you all been dealing with it. I think that was this week's topic. So some of the things will be, and I haven't had the pleasure of listening to the others, but some of the things will sound repetition to those that heard some of the stuff before. So when you're talking about certain subjects, all of us going to say the same thing. Now, some of us may come a little unorthodox, still based upon truth, but we are and from a different angle, but basically it's the same thing. Because most of us don't realize how important it is to protect the anointing. And some people really foolishly believe that once you're anointed, you don't have to protect it. They believe that they're put in such value in the power of God. If God saved me, I don't care what I do. I've heard him say that. If God saved me, I don't care what I do. I can't get out of it because he said nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. That's not what it's talking about. And if God saved you, but it's he also, his salvation is just as powerful as his giving you the choice to make, to choose. And most of us want to just do it one-sided. But God not only saved him, his saving power is able to keep. But you must choose to be kept, and you must choose to obey. And many people think just because they have the anointing that they can't lose it. We got all kind of examples in the Bible. We got Satan was anointed. He didn't protect his anointing. He was the first one. He was anointed. And matter of fact, not was. Let me correct that. Satan is anointed.
Is anointed.
He's still anointed because any time he can get in the face of God to dispute or to talk about things that's going on with Job, to dispute over Moses' body, he's still anointed. Now, that anointing does not make it. That's why there are certain people, stars and entertainers, they're not just good, they're anointed. They're anointed to do what they're doing. And see, we think anointing means baptizing in the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. No. Anointing means, because the first man that was mentioned to be anointed was a fellow that was building on the temple. Maybe not the first one, but that was building on the temple. He was anointed and gifted to do the job to build the temple. So there's all types of anointing. So some of these entertainers that like Michael Jackson, he's dead, but Michael Jackson was anointed entertainer. That don't mean that he was saved, and I'm not saying he wasn't, but I'm just saying that's not this call. But he was anointed because any time you can gifted to, and some people are anointed by God and some others are anointed by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this, Satan is the god of this world.
Mm.
And he's always a faker, and people don't want to think that whatever, and people be always saying, I was talking to someone on the another radio broadcast, they was praying this, I'm Satan, I'm sending you back to the hell where you came. And I corrected the brother after he got to prayer. I said, Satan didn't come from hell. Satan is going to hell. Because if you're gonna send Satan back where he came from heaven. I said, now Satan is going to hell, is set up for him. Now he was in control of the death and the grave. We said he went down in hell. He was in control of the death and the grave, and Jesus took the sting out of death and the victory from the grave. But Satan, hell was set up for him. So he hasn't. So why are you sending Satan to hell? He hasn't been there yet. Because when he get to hell, he's not. So don't believe these commercials that think you got Satan sitting up with fire laughing and say, we're going to send another one down. No, he may be trying to get everybody to go with him, but he's never been there. Because once Satan gets to hell, he's going to burn. So don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on this. So let's get on our subject matter when we're talking about protecting the anointed. I love it. And I've been up. I haven't been able to sleep last night, evangelist, just dealing with this because, you know, anytime there's a subject that comes from, anytime there's a sermon, first thing I do is do personal reflection. And the thing that I was asking God, Lord, have I protected my anointing? In many cases, I see in times past that I haven't. That doesn't mean that I was committed adultery, fornication, or doing other things. But if I did not value what God has given me, and if I was not putting the time in to grow wisdom, or just if I had an attitude about some, or if I was in the wrong spirit, I'm not protecting my anointing. I'm making myself vulnerable. And especially sin opens the door for Satan. Sin represents darkness. Salvation represents light. If we live according to God's word, when Satan looks at us, all he sees, because he's a spirit, he sees our spirit of light. But now when we start doing things and slipping up and being presumptuous with our sin, he sees a passageway for darkness. So Satan functions in darkness. So a lot of times in the dark is not just because of the seven sins that we mentioned, you know, sexuality, drinking and smoking, you know, all that kind of, you know, we got our categories. But disobedience, lack of initiative, self-pity, and all these things open the way for Satan. So we got to be careful, and we got to guard our hearts. When the scripture talks about God in your heart, it's talking about God in your mentality. When it talks about your heart, it's not talking about the thing that's beating. It's talking about your consciousness. Guard your consciousness. Guard who you are. Because out of that are the issues of life. In other words, out of that it becomes is the manifestation of who you are and what you're doing and what's going to happen in your life. Another scripture that's companion to that is, as a man thinketh, so is he. Guard yourself. So when we talk about protecting the anointing, let's go with, and I'm sure you heard it before, but we talk about the origin of the anointing was from the practice of shepherds. It was from a practice of shepherds. You know, lice and other insects would often get into the wool of the sheep. And when they get near the sheep's ear, they could move into the sheep's ears and kill the sheep. So the ancient shepherds would pour oil on it, olive oil or whatever oil, on the sheep's head. This made the wool slippery, making it impossible for the insects to get into the sheep's ears because they would slip off. Can't you see the association there, anointing the head, watching your ears and your eyes and your head so that anything, these insects, and that's all the wiles of the devil is nothing, but we can put them in the category of insects to get inside your ear gate, your eye gate, your mouth gate. They would slip off because the anointing oil was there. This anointing became a symbol of God's blessings. Now, in the New Testament Greek words for anointing was kyros, which means smear or rub with oil, by the invitation to consecrate for office. You know, when Aaron was anointed, when Aaron and when anointed different ones, and even in Jesus' time, he said anointed him with oil, or even when David says the prayer, "Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." So it said smearing. That anointing, that oil, because see, the oil is not the salvation. The oil is the symbol of the salvation. It is the symbol of God's blessings. So when they're anointed with oil, the blessing of God came upon them. Then another word is elepho, which means to anoint. Now let's go to Exodus 29, 1 through 7. We're going to give you some scripture, then we're going to talk about some principles here and how to protect it, because each of us need to protect our anointing. And then I'm going to talk about one young lady who was an anointing protector. And I'll just throw a name out there, and then your mind will start running. It was Abigail. Abigail was an anointing protector. And I'll show you in the scriptures how she protected David's anointing. Each of us need a spirit of Abigail around us. You know, you need somebody that's going to say, wait a minute, don't do this. This is going to mess you up with God. Don't do this. Even though you have a right to do it and you're angry, don't do this. And see, sometimes we get beside ourselves and we let our anointing get the best of us because we're still human. That's no excuse. But because we still accentuate and build on the humanity of us instead of walking in the spirit at all times, our humanity sometimes gets the best of us and we go with it. And you need an Abigail to come along. And that spirit of Abigail is not just for women. It's a spirit of a person that's going to protect the anointing for you and encourage you. No, don't go down the street. You don't need to do this. Don't say that. No, you need to hold it up. No, you don't need to. No, I'm telling you now. I know you don't need to do that. No, stop what you're getting ready to do. Don't marry this person because that's the wrong person. See, a lot of us have messed up our anointing. Even in our marriage, and that's another thing. We, like I said, you can take years talking about this. But Exodus 29, 1 through 7. Am I coming through loud and clear?
Bishop, we hear you clearly.
Yeah. Okay, good. And it said, Exodus 29, 1 through 7, it said, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, hallow them to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil of wheaten, flour, salt, and make them." Now, most of us don't understand the importance of unleavened. What this unleavened is, in this, God uses it, not only is this a symbol for, it's a symbol for showing not being connected with the world, but that unleavened is nothing but yeast. Leaven is nothing but yeast. The yeast expands on the inside. Now, for one reason, they talk about unleavened bread because God didn't want them because the yeast does something to the physical body. Now, we don't concentrate on it now, but all yeast products expand on the inside, expand your organs, and cause a lot of trouble if you want to talk about health. So, but yeast in the spirit realm is because the Bible said when Jesus told them don't eat of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then they said, is it because he said we have no bread? Jesus said, translate, you silly boy, don't you remember when I fed the 5,000 when we had bread? So this is not about bread, but this is talking about that arrogance and that pride and that uplifting, swelling spirit that you may have. That's what he's talking about, the leaven of the Pharisees. So here he's talking about the unleavened bread. It's talking about not adding yeast to it. So when you hear the unleavened bread, it's a bread without yeast. Because what the Lord, one thing I'm finding out in the scriptures, not only was the God giving them spiritual things, but he gave them a natural thing to protect their physical body. We ignore it now because Paul comes along and says, don't let nobody tell you what to eat, what to eat, what you want to eat, and just say your prayers. You know, that's fine. It's not a sin. But when we overeat and when we do, we're committing what the church is really committing, and people in general, even especially America's, we're committing diet suicide. We're eating ourselves to death, and we're tempting the Lord. Like when Satan had Jesus, he said, turn these stones to bread. He said, I'm not going to, or he told him to jump. He said, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. We're tempting the Lord because we eat everything, not even taking the time to seek the wisdom of what's best for our physical body. And then we're praying and asking God for healing. But I keep on putting the thing in that's killing me. God can heal, but what really God's will is for wholeness instead of having to heal you every 6 months. So, you know, that diet is another thing that the church needs to really concentrate on, and that's another subject here. But when they talk about unleavened, they're talking about without yeast. So the unleavened bread and the cakes, verse number two, unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers, unleavened, anointed with oil, and wheat flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into the baker and bring them in the basket and the bullock or whatever. Then he said, and Aaron and his sons, this is where we really want to go, and sons, thou shalt bring them to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. First thing he's saying, washing them with water. This is what baptism represents, the washing of the water. And the Bible talks about the thing that God does, and people in baptism is another subject. People don't understand. And I was talking to some people, and this has been an argument we've been having. You know, do everything, and then we go gagging on that and swallowing the camel when it comes down to the name of Jesus. The Bible said we're buried with him. Buried with who? Not the Father. Not the Holy Ghost, but we're buried with the Son, Jesus. And so we go on, and when it talks about washing, here is a symbol of a purification. And the Bible talks about when we're baptized, God does something. And see, we are not teaching it properly, evangelists, because when a person is baptized, God is doing an act in the water to change and open up their mind and spirit so that they can now hear and so that they can now receive the Holy Spirit. But see, so we just get so excited about baptizing people, and we baptize them. They're young. We baptize them. We get them in the water. They do all kinds of things, and they don't really understand. So they just get, I just got wet last Sunday. And yeah, we're excited about it, but that's why many people are not really having the effect of the baptism because they lack understanding. Because what it sounds like is many churches are just taking people for a swim and a dip. But baptism... The Bible talks about the act of God, what God does, and he opens up our mind and our spirit, and it lets us be receptive. So, you know, and this is the first time I'm saying this, but I'm going to do it, evangelist. Now, I got baptized in Jesus' name, and this is just for me. I got baptized in Jesus' name when I was 9 or 10.
My God.
9 or 10. Now, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at 10. So I've been saved over 40 years. When you mentioned Bishop Benny Moore and Mark Moore, I know Mark as a young man. We're around in the same age bracket. He may be a little older, but I know him, and I know his father. I remember his father. We used to go to Indianapolis every year, and his father and my pastor, Bishop Davis, who's still alive, were close friends. So, you know, that's my experience with those. So those songs brought back a lot of things. But see, I got baptized, but you know what I'm going to do, evangelist? Once that more and more I study the word, and more, my understanding is so greater now than it was when I was 10. I myself, I got a bishop friend of mine. I'm going sometime, it's not this year, but I'm going to go to visit my friend. I'm going to get baptized again. Because I realized, and this is just for me, all of my sins that I committed were since I've been baptized. Whatever I've done, because at 10 years old, you wasn't doing another plan. You may have stole a cookie or did something like that, you know, doing something. But after my baptism, Any wrongdoing, anything that came in my life, came after it.
Come on.
So this is just for me. I'm going and do it over again. I'm not saying nobody has to or whatever, but I'm doing it, and I did it in Jesus' name then, and I'm going to do it in Jesus' name now.
Come on.
So I'm going to do it. I'm just waiting till the right time, and I'll talk to my friend, and I'm going to go visit him, and then I'm going to let him, because he's a mentor of mine, I'm going to let him baptize me over again. Because if what I understand now that the work of God is doing through baptism, and I'm understanding now, I didn't know this then, and I didn't have that experience then.
Woo!
So I want that experience. I want it. I'm going back. I'm going to do it. So that's just me. Let's get back in the scripture. Yeah, I'm getting excited. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat, the robe of ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon his mitre. Then thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them. So the anointing of oil was start, even though we know the original intent, God has used this as a symbol to anoint those in priestly. Now notice here, Aaron was anointed. And once that true anointing stays upon you, if you live according to that, and then not only say, here's the thing, and people ask the question all the time, evangelists, why when Aaron and Miriam, Moses' sister, came against Moses because he married a black woman and they tried to have an offense with her because she was from Ethiopia, she was from Midian, and her father, his father-in-law was a black man, African nation, but he was from a different area because, and they found complaining about his wife. Isn't that common among the saints? The pastor's wife or the pastor's husband always gets it from other people. Most of the time it's because, most of the time. Now, sometimes the pastor's wife and the pastor's husband, they're just crazy, plain and simple. And they don't value what they have and the position that they have, and they take advantage of it. But most times it's because someone else or someone desired that they should be the pastor's wife or somebody else should be, their sister, their mother, their cousin, should be the pastor's wife.
My.
So then the pastor's wife can get trouble. So here it is. Moses had trouble with his sister. They were talking about him outside the camp. God called them together. See, Moses didn't know they were talking about his wife. God called them together and said, he brought them together. And he said, look, y'all sitting up here talking about Moses' wife. Don't you know? He said, Aaron, I deal with you through signs and wonders, but I talk to Moses face to face. He said, now, you all ain't going to sit here and disown this man. So but then he made leprosy come on Miriam, if you remember the story. But then some of the women start saying, well, why didn't he judge Aaron? I asked the same question, why didn't he judge Aaron? He gave Miriam leprosy, not because she was talking so much, but because of the act. But here it's where the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. When God anointed Aaron and he put the linen ephod on him and the breastplate and the curious girdle, no judgment can come to him. But if you remember the story, when God told him to anoint someone else priest, and soon as he pulled the linen ephod off and the robe that he had on, he died on the spot. That was Aaron's judgment. The anointing was protected. And it added the linen ephod. All this represented the presence of God. So God could not judge himself when he had himself on him with those symbols. When he took them off, Aaron died. That was Aaron's judgment. Because Aaron should have got in trouble when he built that golden calf and all that kind of stuff. But because of the embracement that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't say, we don't carry the same investment. This doesn't say because you're anointed, nothing can happen to you. This is just showing what happened with Aaron.
All right.
Because now we don't have that investment. We have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Aaron didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now we have the Holy Ghost, so we don't need a special robe. I wouldn't do it, but I can come out and preach naked and still be anointed. Because I don't need a robe or something special because the anointing is within and it's upon me. So that's how Aaron received his judgment. But that anointing of oil was a symbol that God's presence was on. Then there's people that's anointed unto the Lord for service. And look at Exodus, the 40th chapter. I think it's Exodus 40. Yeah, look at 40th chapter. just a few examples, and we're going to break down some of this stuff and see and give Old and New Testament examples. Because, you know, there's a lot of examples of people that are anointed. And anointing is just the green light for God's favor.
Again, it's special anointing.
It's the green light for the favor of God, and the green light to have the involvement of God in your life, and it's the green light for you to function on God's behalf. See, when you're anointed, and God has used the oil and the symbolism and the laying on of hands, it is the green light for you to go as if God was speaking. And so we'll talk more about that, you know, within our time. So 49, it says, "And thou shalt take the anointed oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shall hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." So the anointed oil was used for the service and serving and the different things that was going on. So you see a lot of examples of the anointing. And see, since this anointing is given, and we saw how it was given to inanimate things, where we're talking about serving the different pieces and the anointing of the robe, and the Bible talks about in the altar the anointing oil that was coming down Aaron's beard, you know, his beard and all of that. See, all of this is a symbol of God's presence, a symbol of God's favor, a symbol of God's the green light to function as God on God's behalf. And not only that, it's the green light to enjoy all of heaven's resources that's been made available to earth. So in the real essence, if you're going to flow in the anointing, there's no reason for us to be broke as we are. There's no reason for us to be sick as we are. But we have not embraced what God has made available to us as his children, as his agents, as his ambassadors, and as just being simply saved. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit is the anointing of God. That's why the Bible talks about Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's the anointing of God. So one more scripture. We have a couple more. Look at the Ecclesiastics 9:8. Let's go there. It talks about the oil. And then it, you know, shows. And I'm going to show the connection, because how you're protecting the anointing is simply by your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Your lifestyle. You got to live. And I don't know where we bought it that we don't have to live it. That we can slip up every now and then. Well, you know, God, you're this what I call pseudo grace. That you can do anything that God's gonna let you slide, and because you're saved, you don't have to, you know, you don't do anything, you know, you're all right, go ahead and repent. Even though sometimes you repent, and even though sometimes you apologize and you confess, that don't mean you're not going to suffer the judgment. I don't know where people got that from. Ask David. David repented. Matter of fact, he's in the best position other than Jesus Christ and anybody, because Jesus coming back to sit on his throne. So Jesus coming back, he ain't sitting on nobody else's throne. And some of the guys, Enoch walked with God, for he was not, for God took him. But he didn't have a throne that God is going to sit on. He's sitting on David's throne. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And even though David sinned, he repented. God forgave him, and God gave him long life. But look at what happened to David as a result of his sin. Number one, the baby died. Number two, I think one of his sons raped his daughter. All this in the family. Number three, Absalom killed the son that raped Haman, that raped his daughter, Dinah. I think that was her name, that raped his daughter. Absalom killed Haman. He had a party, a family gathering, and David thought all of his sons were dead, but no, Absalom, because that was Haman was his half-brother, but the girl was his whole sister. So he killed him. Then Absalom rose up to take David's kingdom. All of this is a result of that sin. He was forgiven. And see, some of you all know what I'm talking about. You're forgiven, but you still suffer the consequences. Just because woman commits a sin and then she has the baby, just because she confessed to God, that baby ain't going nowhere. You're going to be a confessed mother. That's all you're going to be. That baby ain't going nowhere. The Holy Spirit ain't taking the baby away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on a natural thing, you know. So and so that's because you confess. We did this, and I'm going to confess. No, you fertilize that egg. Guess what? That baby coming. Confessed or not. Now, you're going to have to deal with the repercussions of having the child. But anyway, get back to David. So then the way David snuck, and he saw Bathsheba on the top of her roof. he had sex with her in his house. But when the Absalom came, he got all of David's concubines and had sex with him on the top of his roof. You see how that shit is playing out? You saw it on top of your roof, and when the lust was completed, when it was finished, it bringing forth death. Absalom did your concubines and had sex with them in front of all the people. What you did in secret, it came out open. Now, here he was. Jesus still sitting on his throne, but he's still paying. Not only that, Absalom died. Then when Solomon became king, one of his other brothers wanted to have Abishai because she was the young lady that David had. They had David to keep him warm when he got old. He wasn't having relations with her, but she was there laying with him with her body heat, naked, to be with him to keep him warm. Then the brother asked for the wife. The mother came back. She came to Solomon, give her Abishai. He said, no, next he's going to want the kingdom. He killed his brother. So look at all this happen as a result of you having an affair. The Bible said when a man commits adultery, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Mm.
How do you protect your anointing? You got to watch your lifestyle. Now look at Ecclesiastes 9:8. It says, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. And what this scripture is talking about? Let your garments always be white, meaning that let your intentions be good, let your lifestyle be that of becoming holiness. See, people think somebody made us believe that can't nobody live safe. And if you would take an inventory on yourself, all the sins that you've done in the last 30 days, you didn't have to do them. All the things that you've said that you shouldn't have said, you didn't have to. You weren't forced to say them. But you chose to embrace it, and it made you feel better because you told somebody else, or you did something, or you did something you had no business doing, or you did something that God had already moved on your spirit that you thought you had victory over, not only last month, last year, whatever. But you didn't have to do it. Somebody made us believe that we had to do it. But what the Word of God is saying is you can live this thing. Somebody made us, and then I know who it was. It was nothing but the Antichrist and the spirit of Satan and make people think, and people be confessing, ain't nobody perfect. That's why we never live for perfection, because we confess we're not perfect. And what you confess, that's what you manifest. You keep on confessing that you're ugly, sick, and fat, and don't have nothing going on, you're going to be ugly, sick, and fat. What you confess, you manifest. Same thing as out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now look at New Testament, James 5:13. We're just laying down some scripture. We're talking about the anointing of oil and all of that. God's word is rich, and if we would take the time to get into the word, there's more to being saved than what we've led on to. James 5:13-16. That's what it's 5:13-16. It said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is he married? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Anointing in the name of Jesus. Who is the Lord? In the name of Jesus. So if they're sick, get some oil. And this is like your symbol that is used to transfer the Spirit of God to the oil. And the prayers of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another. Now, we isolate scripture, but here is talking about the sick situation. And he's talking about calling for the elders. So when he said confess your faults one to another, he's still talking about to the elders. He ain't talking about tell your best friend. And then when they tell it all over the church, then you get mad at the church because everybody's talking about you, but you didn't come to the pastor. You didn't come to the elders. This is not a separate conversation. This is the same conversation. So it don't mean confessing to see my favorite girlfriend, I'm going to tell her. And then when she gets mad at me, she going to tell. She thinks she's something. After all, I know about her. I don't want to know about her. You know, people, you know. And you did it to yourself because you thought you was telling somebody that was a close friend.
My
it said,
God.
Call for the elders. If there's any sick among you, let them pray with all. Confess your faults, and we got to translate it. Since people don't understand, confess your faults to the elder that you're calling for. And the person that's watching for your soul is your pastor, unless he designates someone else to take your confession.
All right.
So why are you telling everybody and thinking they're going to hold it? I thank you for the testimony that you had, Evangelist, talking about a young lady that's been a friend. I got a friend that I was talking to one time, and I said, she's been a friend since we've been friends. Not too many people can say that. That since we've been friends, when we first became friends, we've been friends.
That's all right.
And, you know, I got a lot of people that were friends of mine, and we've fallen out for various reasons. Or we just outgrow one another. But confess your faults
one to another. Say that again.
That's right. You can outgrow people, and you got to understand, just because I liked you in third grade don't mean that we're supposed to be together now that I'm over 50. I done changed so much, and I hope you've changed, but most time people don't. But confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed, and the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Righteous meaning a man that's going to live right. Righteousness is a lifestyle. So while you got everybody praying for you, and we all got sins in our lives, we all doing some of the same thing you're doing. Oh, pray for me. Oh, yeah, okay. That's why you don't get nothing sometimes. You know, the anointing is an impartation of God's favor, as we said, and presence. And also, I've said, just the green light to flow in God, on God's behalf. Also, the anointing is that special gifting from the Lord. Also, the anointing is that God's serum or antidote for breakthrough. For the scripture says, for the anointing destroys the yoke. So that's God's serum or antidote for breakthrough. And then, you know, so now we're talking about, you know, protecting it. Plain and simple, anointing to protect it is a lifestyle. And see, the anointing is God's favor with conditions. And see, people want to say, oh, there are no conditions on God. Yes, there is. Deuteronomy 21 talks about it, one, and we don't have to turn to it. It says, thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord and do all that he says. Then he goes on with a line of things. In blessing, I will bless thee. I'll bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you here. If you hearken unto the voice and do, listen and do. The anointing is fed by you listening to the word, and it's also fed by you doing what the word said and doing it like the word said. Jesus said, walk in the light as he is in the light. And what he's talking about, walking in prudence, walking in understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. And see, you can lose that anointing, and that anointing can be gone by your bad actions. Do you remember the story about Eli and his son? Eli was a priest before they started having kings, right before Samuel. He was the priest before Samuel. Then after Samuel, we had no more priests. They were being led by king. That's why Saul was the first king. But Eli had sons, and they were anointed, and the anointing was passed down. Once a man that is anointed by God, he hears the voice of the Lord, and God blesses his family. Not only are your spirits of your family transferred, but when the Holy Spirit is on you, and the gifting of God, if your children submit to the God that you serve, God will impart to them that spirit because they're living with you. So don't give up on your children when bad things have happened. They've done some crazy things. God said, your leaf shall not wither. He promised that. Now, tragic things have happened in certain families. But then those same families have, you watch the anointing, and this is for you, Evangelist. You watch the anointing on your grandchildren. You watch it. It's going to explode. You're going to be made a happy woman. I'm telling you now.
Wow! Thank you, Lord.
And God is saying this today that He sees your sorrow. He knows what you've been through.
Ah, glory
and
to God!
He's going to give you a gifting that you never experienced. He's going to bless it through your children and the children through your daughter. Now that was just a side piece of cake for you. But if you remember Eli and his sons, they were cutting up in the temple. They was taking the sacrifice. They was getting the money. They were sleeping with the women that was coming to confess. You know, all kind of crazy stuff. Sound like a modern day church. A lot of people are hurt outside, and they talk about the church. But here's the thing: I had to correct something I said. I said, yeah, many of us have been hurt by the church. The church never hurts you. The people that were in the church hurt you. The church lift up a standard against Satan? And how is it that the church who's lifting up a standard against Satan going to allow the people in there to get hurt? No, the church didn't hurt you, but the people and the foolishness and the gossip and some of the places we've been called the church is not really a church. It's a glee club, or it's a place to come where people can just get off their spiritual, try to get off their spiritual knowledge, because if they come in there on Sunday and don't live like nothing, don't come back to next Sunday, not hearing from the Lord, that ain't no church. That's a meeting room. So you was hurt at the meeting. You weren't hurt by the church. I don't care what they was preaching, what they were doing. Because, see, church people don't hurt people. And I'm not talking about somebody getting hurt because I sung and you wanted to sing the song. I'm talking about somebody maliciously going out to get you, to destroy you, to malign your name, to steal your husband or hurt your children. That's the hurt I'm talking about. Some people are hurt. If they can't hurt you this Sunday, they're hurt. That's something else. But Eli's sons were doing whatever, and the anointing was on them. But see, the anointing represents the glory. And when you defy by lifestyle, the anointing of God is entrusted in you. Your gifting remains, but the flow of the anointing leaves. When Eli and when they came in and they stole the Ark of the Covenant. They went to war and they're going to try to, like we try to do, you go out and sin and then you come back and you go, oh, praise the Lord, speaking in tongues and shouting around. You know you're the biggest devil, ain't confessing nothing. And then you're going to come in church and act like you're so spiritually deep. Thank God for his grace and how he's doing things, and he's not killing people like he used to. They went to war and going to take the Ark of the Covenant and go up there and think they're going to have the presence of God. But see, you can have the symbol of God and not have the presence. The Ark of the Covenant was there, which represented the presence of God, and it was taken. Eli's two sons were killed, and the Bible said Eli fell back in his seat. When they told him the ark, he didn't fall back because his sons was there, because God had warned him about his sons, but he didn't correct them. But when he fell back, he was a fat man. He fell back and broke his neck because they told him the Ark of the Covenant was gone. Then Eli's son's daughter had a baby, and she named him Ichabod.
Ah.
The glory has departed.
The glory has departed.
Some of us are living, and the glory has departed, and we don't even know it. Samson didn't know the glory had gone. His anointing was quenched, and he out there shaking like normal time. But you notice, everybody that lost their anointing or lost their favor, it has something to do with their disobedience or their lifestyle. Saul, he disobeyed. He wasn't supposed to try to usurp the office of the priest. Now, God intended for Saul, because it would have been Saul's throne that God was sitting on when God anointed him as king. But it's Saul automatically, because, see, you can be anointed. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. You can be anointed. If you don't get rid of those habits and those low self-esteem issues you got and those little family issues that you're dealing with, you can be anointed and do everything else and still fail God because your habits will speak. There's no such thing as a secret you. Your you going to come out. Your you going to come out. It's coming out, I'm telling you. It may come out when you want it to, and most time it come out when you least expect it. So Saul was killed. His anointing was broken. God had anointed. He was first anointed, but it was broken. And you see how God does this thing. God let David connect with, because God knew what he was going to do, because God let David, in as great of a man as Jonathan was, he still had the spirit of his father. And even though he had connected with God, let him connect with David and show the symbol of what he was doing, he gave David his staff and everything. Basically what he was saying, David, I know you're going to be king. So here, take mine, because by right and the way things was going, that kingship should have went to Jonathan. You see how God did that? He let Jonathan knit his heart to David, let Jonathan give David his sword and his shield, representing his authority. And then God allowed him to die with his daddy. Because guess what? If Jonathan would have still lived, there would have been a major split on who should be king, even though God anointed David. God knows how to remove things out of the way to make things appropriate. God knows how, like people be talking about, oh, so-and-so shouldn't be president. If God didn't want Obama to be president, he know how to remove it. And even though people voted, if God didn't want him, I'm not saying he leave things up to people's choice, but if God didn't, certain things God don't want. So people, if God didn't want him, he could put a man to sleep in a hurry. So why y'all trying to be deep and spiritual? Oh, this or the devil. No, if God just definitely didn't want certain things and certain things didn't happen, God didn't allow certain things to happen so that certain things would happen. Don't think that God just sitting back and just let the chips fall where they lay, where they may. No. So Samson was what? David. Now, here's another thing talking about the anointing. You see, your lifestyle would do it. In First Chronicles, we're not going to read it because I know our time is getting away. In First Chronicles, when the scripture talks about, and I'm just giving you foundational things showing, when the scripture talks about David wanted to build the temple, who better to build the temple of God than David? But you know what God told David? You cannot build the temple.
Come on.
Because you got too much blood on your hands.
Blood on your hands. Thank you, Jesus.
Even though I anointed you to be a warrior, I'm not going to let you do certain things because that blood is on your hand. Now look at, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. There's some things that we have the right to do and we can do them, but they're not expedient. Because you do them, it'll stop you from doing certain things. Even though you say God anointed you to do them. David had to be a warrior. He had to fight. And he built a temple. See, and all of this is symbolism because the temple of God represents the peace of God. He's not going to let a warrior, a person that chills, build something that represents peace. That's why he had Solomon. Now, all of Solomon's life, the 40 years he was a king, there was peace. So David couldn't build it. Why? Because of his lifestyle. There it is. Now, the scripture goes in and talks about, and see, that's why we need to see that doing something for the Lord, the anointing, can be broken if you violate righteous principles. How do you protect your anointing? Living right. The Bible said, it said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Satan messed up his anointing because of his thought process. He thought, I'll be higher than mighty God. I'll be as exalted as him. And that's still the problem with most of us, your thinking. Look at Ephesians 4:17. Let's go there. Because it's talking about a lifestyle. And then I was studying Ephesians, and I tell you, Evangelist, I've been so excited dealing with this because it made me reflect. And I'm, ooh, Lord, please let me protect my anointing.
Protect my anointing. Thank you, Jesus.
Ephesians 4:17 through, we'll just read a few scriptures. This I say, therefore, testify of the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Look at that mind, going back to that mind. It's always the mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. When they talk about the blindness of their consciousness, they refuse to get an understanding of what God expects and how it is to live right. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Look at that, vile affections with that coveting spirit. But ye have not so learned Christ, it's so that you be have heard him, that you have taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Everybody talking about you can find truth. Truth is relevant. No, the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversations of old man or the former lifestyle, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness, and be renewed in the spirit of what? Your mind is always going back to that mentality. You think just because you stop smoking, stop drinking, stop doing certain things that you're okay. Jesus told him, he set a new paradigm. Look, it has been said that if a man commits adultery, he has sinned. But I'm telling you, if a man think on a woman improperly or a man,
Jesus,
he's in sin. So one sister was talking to me. I was talking to her. She said, ooh, I was telling my husband, if the Rock, you know the actor The Rock, if the Rock walked in the room, ooh, he'd be in trouble. And he's a saint. I'm like, the devil is a lie. He ain't going to be in no trouble. What you going to do, rape him? And everybody believes because they got a desire for something that somebody going to want them. But if you're married to me and going to tell me if the Rock walk in the room, I'm going to be in trouble, you ain't no good wife to me. I thank God, ain't no woman that I can tell my wife that, oh, girl, if she came over, My wife would tell me, all right, I'm going to invite over so I can leave.
Hey, thank you, Jesus.
You can't live in that foolishness. You got to, we got to love, well, that's another subject. You got to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ ain't saying, well, I'm going to get something else. You know, you all keep on sinning. I'm going on about my business. No. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice this righteousness is dealing with a right relationship, a right lifestyle, walking right with God. Then it says, wherefore, putting away, lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. So all you all go get mad and go to bed and have wrath and anger and stuff, issues, and go to bed trying to sleep. You know you can't sleep when you're angry. You get up worse. You need to deal with that. I know when I've been angry in the past, and if I was angry when I went to bed, when I woke up all through the night, I was angrier. And when I got up, I was ready to kill because it festers. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands, and the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So many of us lose our anointing by running our mouths. Some people talk too much. Some people will never lose weight because they run their mouth too much. Their mouth is open, is always open, and so stuff can never work its way because you are cursing with your mouth and you're always talking. You're always talking, so you're going to always have issues. Now look at the fifth chapter, and these would probably be the last, no, I got one more scripture, last scripture I'll be reading and we'll just expound. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, and Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering of the sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Now, here's the thing. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you,
my God,
as becoming saints. Let it not be once named. How many of us, and I don't want to show of hands or cry, how many of us have done some of these things more than once? And we give the green light for people to do. Oh, he's a man. And this is written to the saints. Saints, don't let fornication and covetousness be named among you the first time.
As Bible is right here in the word.
Now, I heard this preacher say this, and I thought he was a little harsh because I was a young boy. But I believe it now. Any man or woman that has an affair or sleep with the people that's following them don't deserve to leave anyone.
I believe that.
No, it ain't no excuse. When he slipped up, she came in his office. The devil should have been beat out of her in his office. You gonna come trying to get me to sin? I'm gonna show you what sin is all about. I'm gonna take some and I'm gonna wear your butt out. And when you walk out of there, you call the police, say I hit you with something in my office. Why did you hit her? She coming there trying to show me something. Well, most of us, one preacher told me, man, I was in my office, somebody came in there. You know, this is foolishness, and they think they'd be saying something. Man, that woman was so fine. She's so fine that you really, because you know what happens? People don't fear God, and they don't believe in hell.
Don't say that again.
Because people don't believe in hell, because if you believe in hell, it's a lot of stuff we wouldn't do if we really believe in the hell or if we really love God. I'm doing a series on the seven pillars of wisdom that talks about the ninth chapter of the book of Proverbs. One is the fear of the Lord. One of the things, the church don't fear the Lord anymore. We are lying a minute. We are lusting a minute. We are still God's tithes in a minute. God understands, but I got to pay this light bill. We do all kinds of stuff in a minute. We don't fear. You don't fear God. Please.
Yeah.
For this you know, verse number 5, this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Now notice here, and I've missed this for years. The scripture describes whoremonger, unclean person, covetousness as idolatry. It describes it as idolatry. So every time we out there shaking our groove thing and dropping it like it's hot,
My God.
Should have no inheritance with the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, tell you it's all right, God understand. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You talk about protecting your anointing. Stay away from some of this stuff. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Remember, we talk about walking in the light. You want to protect your anointing? Turn the light on.
My God.
Then it goes on talking about, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's in goodness, all goodness and righteousness and truth. So, you know, just a few more points, and then we'll take some questions. You know, everybody, you know, we were talking, turn to 1 Chronicles. I told you one, 1 Chronicles 22:7-8. Let's go there. And I think that that's my last scripture. Then we'll just expound and take questions. First Chronicles. People think they can, well, because I'm saved, I got a green light to enjoy heaven. I don't have a green light to sin.
All right.
That's no special ticket to go in and sin because God gonna forgive me. The person that think that, what David was praying for, keep thy servant from presumptuous sin. You're being presumptuous when you think, well, I can do this, God won't forgive me anyway. That's presumptuous. 7 and 8 of 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build the house unto the name of the Lord God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great war. Thou should not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. So let me just show you how David couldn't build the temple. Now, I mentioned earlier, for the next few minutes, everybody needs an Abigail. And we all ought to pray to God that we can have the spirit of Abigail. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Abigail, just briefly. Abigail was a beautiful woman who had a husband named Nabal who was a foolish man. The story goes on that during the time of harvesting, and not only harvesting, but they were shearing the sheep, David had been running from King Saul, because Saul was trying to kill him. I think that was the time. So then, or it was the time then, or he was running from Saul. And so the Bible says, while they were there, Nabal was a rich man. He had wealth beyond measure. The Bible says he was a fool. Don't think that everybody rich is anointed by God. Some people, if you do what's necessary, you can get money. If there are certain principles that you follow, you can get money. Because if only the saved were rich, then all the rest of you all, I ain't going to say me because I'm breaking that post spirit, all the rest of you all are not saved because you don't have no money. So that's not the truth. If salvation was the indicator of your wealth, many of us, and as to this day, I wouldn't be saved. So salvation has nothing to do with it. And then that's why many people, and it's all about principles, that's why many people think that the rich are not saved. I read something the other day, and I read it to a brother, and we don't follow it. It says, and I think it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, it said, don't talk about, and I'm trying to say, don't talk about the king. And don't talk about the rich. Now, notice how the word put the rich and the king in that. Don't talk about the king, don't talk about the rich. But it said, for the king, and our king right now is our president. So all you all feel so inclined because you don't like what's going on, you're talking about the president. The Bible said, don't talk about it, because he said, a little birdie would tell him, and when they talk about birds, the spirit would take what you say and expose it to the king. But since you don't know, you wouldn't know the president, or he wouldn't know you. You know the president. But most of us, the saints, are the biggest offenders of certain things when we don't like some. Somebody made us believe that we can. I didn't care that much for, and I didn't vote for Bush, but I never said anything against him.
All right.
I never said anything against him. All these people praying Psalms 38 on the president and wishing him to even call him a monkey and talking about his family. All these, some of these people going to hell if they don't repent.
Say that again.
It ain't just because he's a black man. It's a leader. God said don't talk about the leader and don't talk about the rich. One of the rich men said it was out of the family of the Rothschilds. They're some of the biggest, the wealthiest people in this world. Here's one thing that they said. If you get the poor to hate us, they'll never become one of us. And it's a principle that they've done well, because you got a lot of people, poor people talk more about, you notice the rich people don't talk about the rich. Poor people do more talking about people with money, and they despise more people with money, and that's why they don't have it. Because what you despise, you would never materialize. So, you know, but here many people go on and they talk about it, and we got to watch ourselves. You're talking about protecting your anointing. You can destroy your anointing and break your anointing by not doing what God said is right. Just because you, I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but you talk about everything that goes on in the news, a lot of time I turn the news off. Not that I don't want to be aware, but I don't want to get caught up in it. I couldn't handle it, because when the president was running the first time and even the second time, I would get so depressed when I hear what people were saying, and I would sit back and I say, Lord, you got to save me, because I wanted to get me some weapons and go out and find me somebody. Everybody disrespecting him, I want to meet him and say and have lunch with him and take a finger or a toe or something like that. So I said, no, I can't be like that. I can't be saved and be that way. So you have to pull away from that stuff. But here, Abigail was married to Nabal. The Bible said that Nabal was a rich man. It was the time that they were shearing the sheep. David had mighty men. He had men. And while Nabal's sheep was gone and they were shearing their sheep, David's men was there protecting them. They never had no problem. They talked with them. They protected them. If the enemy wanted to come in, they protected the sheep. So when the time was over, they came back home. David sent word. He said, I am David and so-and-so, my father's whatever. And he said, my men was there and protecting your men. When the enemy came up, none of your sheep were lost. We protected you, and all I ask you to do is give us what you think is right. Give us what you think is right in payment. So Nabal sends a note back and said, you go tell David, who is David, the son of Jesse? All these fellows running from their king, running from their master. I'm not giving my money to this man. Who is David? I ain't giving him nothing. So when he sent word back to David, David told his 600 men, get together. He left a few of them back. Let's get it. We going to kill this dude. So one of the servants went to Abigail, his wife. The Bible says she was very beautiful. And he went to the wife and he said, David sent his men and they protected us, and they gave her the rundown on what was going on. He said, but all he asked us for though to give them some food and give them some money, because while they was out there, and to get them what he thought, but your master being a fool or being dumb, he rose up, you know, can't nobody talk to him. So this is the mentor, can't nobody talk to your master. He doing all this. And so Abigail said, okay, wait a minute. We got to head this off. So she got the men, say, look, put this together, give us these sheep, get this corn, get this all in. We're going to go and I'm going to meet him, and by chance, and we're going to put some money. So as David was coming, because David made up in his mind, I'm going to kill everything in there. I'm going to kill the women, the children, everything, and I'm going to take what I want.
Ah, glory to God.
So the Bible said that as David was coming, he had war in his mind. He had hatred in his heart. Then he looked and saw Abigail, and she got off her horse. And she came and ran to him and said, may I speak to you, my master? And she laid at his feet, and she bowed to him. And she said, put the burden of this issue with my husband on me. Please take this gift from me.
Mm.
And she said, now, my husband whose name is Nabal, who means a fool, his name means a fool.
A fool, my
He's an idiot. And he's a fool. And I'm saying, then this is what got David. She told him, this is what I'm talking about, everybody needs an Abigail. She told him, she said, listen, we know that God's hand is on you. We know that you've been anointed king, and you're going to be king, and all Israel going to follow you.
I like that.
And she said, don't let my husband's foolish acts get you to get revenge for yourself.
Come on.
And cause a problem with your God. Don't let him cause you, in other words, translation for today, don't let my husband's foolishness cause you not to protect your anointing. Because see, here's the thing. Somebody else can always be a reason for you letting down your guards and not protecting your anointing. But it's nobody's fault but yours. You can't go to God and say, no, you hear what he said to me. You see what they did to this. No, you can't go to God and tell him that. When I've anointed you, you are to call on and to respond based upon heaven's principles. So the Bible said, David looked at it and said, I will take this from you and thank you for being gracious. Thank you for saving me. Because she was saying, don't let this be a mark against you, because this would be a mark on your rulership. You're not king, but you're getting ready to mess up because you're going out to be a man for revenge. See, revenge is an anointing stealer. God said vengeance is mine. When you do things for revenge, even now, when you get somebody back because they got you, you are offending and you're not protecting your anointing.
My God.
And the Bible said that David went on back, and then Abigail went on home. And her husband was having a big party. Oh, he had a party. He was jamming. They had all kinds of groups there. They were singing and doing everything. And so she didn't tell him nothing tonight. When he got up that morning, he was going to bring up the stuff. She brought up the stuff. You know, I saw David today. You know how women do. You know, they say a little bit. You know, I was in, if they know something. You know, I answered the phone today. And you were like, oh, yeah, okay. And so-and-so called. Now, here you go. So she said, you know, I saw David. I went to see David today. And I'm sure the conversation, I'm just adding to it, the conversation, yeah, David going to send somebody over here, talking about he going to get some food. Ooh, that's David. She said, but you know what, honey? David was coming to kill us. I gave it to him. I took money and gave it to him. I fed him. The Bible said he got so mad that he had a stroke.
Glory to God.
And after a few days, God took him and he died. Now, David found out that the man died. Now, look at this man. He died.
All right.
He died the next day after David. See, God would take care of you the next day if you would let him.
Oh, Jesus.
We get so involved. The reason why God don't judge people harshly because we take control. I guarantee you, if you stand back and let God deal with people and just bless them.
Let God do it.
God will tell, but because you get your tail involved, why you didn't do nothing? No, you got involved. You told me you didn't need me. See, when we go forth and take matters in our own hands, we're saying to God, I don't need you, Lord. I can handle this. And all it's going to do, like Abigail was telling him, don't let this make things worse for you. And then lastly, so now notice it. After the husband died, she had a funeral quickly. The Bible said 7 to 10 days, I think it was 7 or 10. David sent his men and said, Abigail, David sends his condolences, and he wants you to be his wife.
Mama.
Abigail fed the men, packed her stuff, got her girls to come with her, took most of the wealth, and left and married David.
My God.
See, there's a place in your life, and this before marriage. There's a place in your life. The older we get, evangelists. We don't need to wait. See, I recommend my sons and my son and my daughters, you know, get to know people. But when you get older, you can discern if somebody's for you or not.
All
these old people around there, they get in sin. They've been married before, or somebody died or whatever. They, you know, but they didn't got 40, 50 years old. Ain't no sense you dating nobody for so six months in a year. I ain't telling nobody to go out and get married in a day or seven days. Like David, they got married in 10 days. So I ain't telling nobody to do that, but I'm old enough now to know if somebody is right for me, especially if I have the Holy Ghost. So the older you get, the less time. Now, you sitting up here with some man talking about, I know I'm going to marry you, and it's 2 years later, you ain't marrying him.
Hey! Glory. Playing games.
Now, we're not telling nobody to do no 7 to 10 day thing, but you know what? Right now, things in my life, and they ain't got to be marriage, I know if they're right away. because of my experience, because of my knowledge with God, because of my connection, and because I protect my anointing. Now, brothers and sisters, lastly, everybody needs an Abigail or an anointing keeper.
Mm.
And they don't have to be a woman, a beautiful woman. It can be a child. Say, oh, Granny, you know, sometimes our children can head us off. Sometimes my son have head me off for stuff that I was going to do. Somebody did something to me, and I was getting ready to say something about dad. No, we don't need to do that. We was talking about, and then they said, Dad, Dad, you don't need to do it. Let me do it.
All right.
Because you anoint.
All right.
Listen, brothers and sisters. I know we said a lot, but listen, to protect your anointing, it's your lifestyle. And your anointing is not just for Sunday service
or
a special revival. You are anointed 7 days a week.
Hey, glory!
You're anointed when you sleep. You're anointed when you're awake. You're anointed when you're cooking breakfast. You're anointed when you go to a picnic with the family. You're anointed when you're in the bed with your spouse. You're anointed if you're in the bed alone. You're anointed while you're feeding the dog. You're walking, going to the grocery store. The anointing is not something that comes as a special quickening when you feel it in church. Oh, that's the anointing. I stay anointed. I'm anointed when I choose my clothes to wear. I'm anointed when I'm in the health club. I'm anointed when I'm driving. Because what is the anointing? God's green light for faith, His special anointing. Now, there's some things that takes a special anointing, like if I want to anoint something in service or whatever, that takes a special, but the anointing is on me because I am the anointed. So that means your conversations, your disagreements, your meals, the way you eat, the way you carry yourself. Solomon says, if you go before kings and you eat in gluttonous, put a knife to your throat. The way you do things. You are a symbol of the anointing because we have the Spirit of Christ. Do you think Jesus Christ was only powerful when it was time to feed people? When he got, even Jesus had to get baptized. He was talking about that. What about that? Jesus got baptized.
All right.
Then Jesus received the Holy Ghost. But then now he's the Lord, so everything was done in his name. Even Jesus got, and then somebody asked me, why did Jesus get baptized? And I said, they said, I know. I said, why? He said, because he was trying to be an example to us. No, absolutely not. That is not why Jesus got baptized. Jesus was still born under the Old Testament law. See, even though we've got the New Testament for Jesus, Jesus was still an Old Testament seller. That's why he kept on saying it was written.
It was written.
The New Testament didn't happen until the resurrection and the Holy Ghost fell. That's New Testament.
All right.
All that other, Jesus' life before he died was still Old Testament, but it was written in the New. He was still under the law. He was still dealing with the law. He said, I came not to destroy the law, but I, so according to the word, He was not born in sin. He didn't have sin in his life, but he was born of a woman of a sinful nature.
Yeah.
So he had to be baptized. Because John said, I don't need to baptize. He said, suffer it to be so.
All right. Yeah, glory. Jesus.
So that's why. See, we got, and all that getting into this. But anyway, listen, to protect your anointing, you got to protect your lifestyle. Now you got to start being reflective. You got to start being reflective. You got to start watching what you say, who you say it with. Watch the people you're with. Watch the crowd you hang with.
Come on.
Your anointing is there and it's present. Sometimes I walk in, we walk in the store sometimes, they ain't dressing no particular, but everybody's stopping and look at us. And sometimes we were like, man, what? I used to say, man, why are people looking at me? We walking like we were funny. You know, I'm a dark-skinned man, but I ain't that dark when you got to look and see if it's real. So it ain't got nothing to do with that. It, when people see a light,
there's
everybody
a light.
Looks toward the light.
A glow, yes. Anointing.
One time I was in the store and I had on, and it was one of the rare times that I had on jeans because I don't wear jeans. I wore jeans sometimes 20 something years ago, and And I would walk in the store, and I was looking for something. The man looked at me. He said, "Man, you a man of God." I was a young man, so you know that excited me. He said, "You're saved." I said, "He said, you a man of God." I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm just starting to preach, so you know, man, I feel good." But I was dressed. He said, "It ain't got to do with what you're wearing." He said, "I see a silver on your head."
All right.
I could have shouted all through that store.
Mm.
He said, "I see something on you, and it's a seal that you're a son of God."
My God.
And I was like, wow. So, you know, you want to wear your anointing.
Mm.
You want to wear your anointing, and you want to be it. You want to have it. It's a lifestyle.
Wear your anointing. I like that.
You got to wear it, and it's got to be a daily thing. You must wear your anointing. It is a lifestyle, and you must do it. And how you destroy it, or you defeat it, or you defy it by living any kind of way, thinking any. That's why you got to be careful what you watch. We got to be careful with what's going on in society. You get out of your anointing dealing with presidential stuff, political stuff.
That's
you get
it.
Depressed dealing with the crime and stuff that's going on. You watch stuff and some of this foolishness on TV. You will destroy your anointing.
Hey,
but you're not connected
glory,
with God.
Jesus, that's so.
Sometimes
true.
you gotta pull away.
Mm.
I know in the next month or so, at some point, I'm gonna take a month sabbatical, and I'm just going away from everything. No Facebook, no telephone. You know, I still talk to people. You know, doing ministry, but you pull away from a lot of this stuff so that you can. I'm rebranding. I got to get myself refortified because the new year's coming up. You know, we out of 13 already, and people are talking about 13 is bad luck. It ain't 13 ain't bad luck for the saints.
Mm.
For the children of God, 13 is a good number. Every number of God is good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm done. Are there any questions, mm-hmm. Evander?
Wow, Jesus. What a lesson, what a word, what a word. Amen. I tell you, I know this is of God talking about protecting your anointing. And we just
mm-hmm.
really thank God for Bishop teaching. This was an explosive lesson. Ain't nothing for you to run, jump, and shout about. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to run and jump and shout if you're trying to protect your anointed. You need
you
to
got
be
to. Got
watching,
to.
As Bishop said. Hey, glory. Protecting your anointing is a lifestyle. I like that. I like
mm-hmm.
that. So we can't, you
Hallelujah.
Know, the Bible say evil communication corrupt good
mm-hmm.
manners. I was saying again last week, Bishop, I was just thinking of some of these old wise fables, you know, that you hear as a child, you know, and your grandparents. Basically, they are the ones that you hear this stuff from. And I say, you know, you can't understand it as a child. But as you grow older, you understand that those old wives' fables, what we call, they had so much substance. Amen.
Mm.
And if you just listen, they would keep you out of harm's way. Hallelujah. And I'll never forget, but this one stick with me all the time. My grandmother would say, "Show me your friends, and I'll tell you who you are."
That's right. Now, you know, listen, birds of a feather flock together. That was a new version.
Feather flock together. That's what they were.
That
and
was
you know,
version,
as a
though.
Child, you know, 9 and 10 and 11 years old, you can't
mm-hmm.
comprehend what they're saying. But you
mm-hmm.
hear this stuff, and it becomes repetitive because they are said all the time. And you know when you know, I'm a girl, I'm a female, so you know we won't be sassy and whatever. And she would say, "When you get to be a woman, you're gonna wish you was a child." You don't understand that, but
That's right.
And you begin to have your children and grandchildren, I find myself repeating some of those warnings that they gave me. You know, you go as a tree fall, that's how it's going to lie. All of these things we don't really give any credence to.
But as you begin to get older, I have one of my granddaughters now. She said, "Granny, I have to pay this." I said, "Welcome to the real world." You know, they don't understand what it is to get out here and struggle and sometimes get out here and, you know, they think they're supposed to have cable. You know, they think they were a cell phone. They automatically should have a cell phone. You know, we didn't have all of that when I was growing up. Oh, my mother worked 6 days a week. 6 days. Hallelujah. And that was the only off day was a Saturday. Amen. So we don't understand. But I heard what you said today, Bishop. Protecting your anointed is a lifestyle. Holiness is a profession. It's a lifestyle. It's a life that you have to live before your peers and before your family. Hallelujah. You know, saints, we are some of the greatest performers. Hallelujah. You wanna get paid? Hallelujah. You want somebody to act? Just hook up with a saint. Hallelujah. We should be in Hollywood, some of us. Oh, glory to God.
Some of them are going. Some of them are going to Hollywood too.
Some are going, Bishop. You have taught this lesson today, and I tell you, a fool shouldn't err. We are inexcusable. Oh, man, whomsoever you may be, he put this in simple, everyday terms. Now, if you can't understand how to protect your anointing, there's nothing else I can say. The Holy Ghost has spoken. Amen. I see Prophet David. Some of them have dropped off, Bishop, but I'm going to open up the line. This is another wonderful man of God. You got to meet Prophet Davis. Yeah. I got to introduce Bishop Patterson to you, Prophet Michael Davis. I tell you, just, oh, God, this has been beautiful today.
Is he in California with you?
He's in North Carolina, Durham. Bishop Corinthus Patterson. Bishop Patterson, this is Michael Davis. He lives here in California on the northern end. Amen. So,
God bless you.
I'm coming to California, and what I'll do is come and make an intention of spending some time so I get a chance to meet some of the brethren and officially meet you, evangelist. So I am coming. It'll be probably be. Give me I'll call you, and it'll probably be a couple of weeks or a few weeks, but I'll call you and let you know when we narrow it down because we're still trying to make those arrangements.
Amen, amen. Well, we're gonna have to get it together. Yeah. We're gonna definitely connect. Amen. So this is Prophet Michael Davis. Amen. Thank you, man of God, for listening in with us today. We certainly, it's a blessing, and the Lord just have been blessing us to have men of God to come on this broadcast. And it's such a strength, not just for me, for even our listeners, because people are going back into the archives listening to these messages, and some are listening live on the internet at their jobs and what have you. So this is an effective tool that God have graced us with, and we certainly thank God for it. Amen. So Prophet Davis, God bless you.
Yes, God bless you too. I thank God for the intellectual and the wisdom of the knowledge of the Word of God that came forth. There was a lot of instruction in that word. I just want to encourage the saints that, well, those that are saints, truly, that we're in a season now where we have to eat the meat of the Word of God, and we can no longer be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine.
Come on here.
He said, Paul talked to the church at Galatia, and he said, if any man or even an angel from heaven would preach any other gospel other than the gospel you have received, let him be accursed.
All right.
Saints of God, everybody that names the name of the Lord, even in the pulpit, as we know, is not sent by God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
In the book of Revelation, we see the white horse coming, and there's a rider on that white horse, and he has a bow, but there's no arrow in the bow. Now, that's very interesting, because what you're going to see is this. You're going to see the white horse, you're going to see the rider, and you're going to see the bow, and you're going to think it's Christ, but if you cannot discern and see that there's no bow, what you're looking at then is the counterfeit.
My God.
The counterfeit must come first.
Mm.
God allows the counterfeit to come first. Why? Because you are swept away with deception.
Mm-hmm.
See, everybody that accepts the mark of the beast, everybody that accepts the doctrine of devils, they will be swept away with deception. That's why Jesus warned them in the 24th chapter of Matthew. He said, take heed. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. Now, it's very interesting. It's very interesting, because why didn't he say, many will come in my name saying, I am Jesus? No, he didn't say that. They said, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. I am anointed. I am anointed. How many people do you hear? Now listen, this is very interesting. How many people you hear in the pulpit say, I'm anointed? Jesus never said it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. But when you stand and say, I am anointed, that's the same thing Satan said. Same thing Satan said. I am anointed. Jesus never said that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus warned them and said, many will come in my name and say that they are Christ. They are anointed. They will say that they are anointed.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not say, the Lord has anointed me. In other words, they will not give glory to whom glory is due. They will take the credit for themselves to say they are anointed.
That's heavy.
Malkator Rimanda. See, that's where deception is. It's very slight. In other words, in a contract, it's the fine print. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's talking about his Father, hath anointed me to do this work. My God from heaven. But Jesus said that people will come in and say in his name and say, I am anointed. I've heard pastors in pulpits say, I'm anointed. That's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. And if it's not scriptural, then God is not talking. Isn't that powerful?
It's powerful. Protect your anointing.
See, you got to pay attention. That's why he said, let him that have ears hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. You got to have an ear to hear.
Malkator Imanda.
Good God from heaven. This thing is so, look, let me tell you something. The devil is so crafty, he's going to get a lot of people, because he's going to come through the word to get the people in the church. He already got the ones in the world, but to get the ones in the church, he knows the word better than you. He tried to use it on Jesus. If he tried to use it on Jesus in Matthew 4, he's going to try to use it on you.
All right. Thank you, Jesus.
My God. So I just want to encourage the people.
Thank you, Lord.
Regarding that anointing, you better recognize God's spirit, God anointing, from the counterfeit. You better. Because if not, you're in trouble.
My God. Well, we thank God for that word. That's some more work. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you.
Anointed word, I tell you.
Amen.
This lesson
is...
This has been a transforming word today, Bishop Patterson. Thank God for you. Prophet Davis is going to be speaking for us on tomorrow. You'll be ministering tomorrow, so sign on early. We certainly appreciate that. Let me see. I'll see Sister Ruby, and then I'll go to Sister Tammy.
No, go ahead. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's just been a blessing all week long, but... Bishop Patterson, you took it out. You know, I said you gave, like Prophet David said, you gave us instruction and with wisdom and the word. So, and as you was going it, I said, this is awesome. And you were talking about Abigail and David, and I say you had that story complete. You know, you had me bringing the word and going in the Bible to find out where it started from. And it was in 1 Samuel 25:3. I said, Lord, I thank you. You're full of the word, full of the anointing, and the Holy Ghost have used you today to bring forth to his precious people. So I'm excited. I'm just being fed all the time. So God bless you.
Thank the Lord.
Bless you. Got the word, and it's anointed, and it's true. Hey, that baptism, I was going to shout all over this house. Hey, hallelujah. I'm so proud. Thank you. God bless you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like that Bishop said he's going back. You didn't, and it's striking that you said, I was baptized as a young boy, but I didn't have the full understanding. I didn't understand the principle and the reasoning of why. But now, hallelujah, after I've suffered, after I've gone through some things, hallelujah, after I overcame some, you better watch God in a day. Woo, glory to God.
What a mighty God, what a mighty God. And that is just for me. And I'm not advising nobody to do anything. This is just for me. And this is what I feel impressed on myself. Because like I said, being saved and when I got baptized, I was nine years old, not having revelation. That they just compelled me to get baptized. I wanted to be saved, you know, as a young boy. You know, I wanted to be saved. And so God saved me. But anything that I've done since then, because I wasn't doing no sin. You know, as a kid, you're not doing, I mean, you do those things. But anything that have implications on you, it was after that. So I'm doing my first work over again. And that's just me.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we're going to go to Sister Cammie, and then we're going to go back to Bishop Patterson for the final remarks. We have some that dropped off. Thank God for those that are in the chat room. God bless you. And we thank God for those that are listening live on the internet. Those of you that came in late and those of you that dropped off, I am encouraging you today to go back and listen to this message on the archive. Visit our website, www.newdestinyministries.com, or go to Blog Talk Radio and search for New Destiny Ministries and you can access a message 24/7. And you know, some of us are night owls. We don't sleep anyway. So instead of looking for some you say, I say, and some other foolishness, amen, tune in and hear this word. I tell you, it will change your life. Amen. So we just bless God. Thank God for Sister Cammie. Bless you, Sister Cammie.
Hey, bless you. Yeah, that was a wonderful message. It was. It really was.
Thanks.
And you learned a lot. And bless you, Sister Bernard, Sister Ruby, and Bishop Patterson. I was really blessed by that.
Bless you.
I'm, you know, one that still, I always say, like, I was brought up in church, but I'm kind of, I guess I want to say, like going back to school. With my word and with the Bible, because a lot of things that you learn so young and when you separate, you forget a lot of things. And so it's such a blessing that I've learned so much from Sister Bernard Ministry. I really have. I mean, it's almost as like I have started school again. So I'm grateful for that. So thank you. Like, one of my favorite messages, so I really appreciate that. So thank you.
Amen. I tell you, Bishop Patterson, Sister Ruby said you had her in the book. She was going to the store. She had to find out about Abigail again. You hear these stories, and sometimes different people bring them out in a different way. They have a different perspective. But I tell you, that's why it's so imperative for us to get into this word and search these scriptures for ourselves. And we thank God for all the women and men of God. I tell you, I just
sometimes I pinch myself because I love working in the vineyard. This is a passion. This is not something I'm just doing, as Bishop said, we got to get rid of some of these habits. This is not something I'm doing because I just don't have anything else to do. But I love the Lord. I love God's word.
Yes.
I love sharing this gospel. Hallelujah. It takes
yes.
something. When you have invested your time and your energy and your passion and your love for God's people, His kingdom, this is what this is about. You know, I tell people every day, Bishop, we're not here to win any popularity contest. We're not here to compete with anybody. God just told us to share the gospel. What
That's
is
right.
the gospel? It is the good news. We're not here to beat up on you, but if the word finds you, just throw up your hands and say, Lord, it is me. It is me. We all have areas in our lives that we have to work on, that we have to be perfected in, because we won't see Jesus until we have been perfected. We're striving for that every day. So every day we have to take a look at ourselves, as Michael Jackson said, I'm looking at the
man in the mirror.
And if we can do that, then I think that too will help us where we'll know that our anointing, we have to walk in this anointing, and it's as Bishop Patterson have so eloquently spoken on today. It is a lifestyle. Hallelujah. I never heard anything said that our anointing, to protect our anointing, we have to live a lifestyle. I know holiness is a life that we have to live, but to protect this, oh God, hallelujah. I don't know where to go from here, but I'm going back to Bishop Patterson. Thank you so much, man of God. We appreciate you.
What a mighty God we serve, and I thank you, and I'm yet excited about what God is doing, not only for us and the new people we get a chance to meet, and for what He's doing for New Destiny. And I'm looking forward to planting an awesome seed into the ministry, because you're blessing us, and you're being a blessing. God knows. And I just thank you for this grand opportunity to be able to share this gospel. And like I said, it's a lifestyle. It's something that we have to decide that we're going to live based upon the thing that God has invested in us. And we got to stop making excuses. And we got to stop living in reverse. Like the Bible said, remember Lot's wife. And one of the problems with Lot's wife is that she lived in reverse. She turned around, and not only just turned around and looking, but she was looking from the inside also, because she was thinking about what she was leaving. She was thinking about everything, and even so many things. So we can't live in reverse. We got to go forth, because you can't. If you live in reverse, you can't press toward the mark.
My God.
For the prize. So I'm going to say the final prayer, and I love you, Evangelist, and I'll be in touch and let you know when we're coming. And in fact, when that time comes, I'll probably have my whole family with us, with me, so we get to meet my family and everybody, my wife and my I keep
let
saying
us know
children.
I might have to take a week off of the broadcast. Let's just get it off and take some time off. You know, we have not any days off. We've been on this line, Bishop Patterson, and this, and to our listeners, Sister Cammy spoke so eloquently about just being on here and hearing the messages come forward. 21 months and over 59,000 listeners. So, you know, sometimes you get a little discouraged and you say, Lord, why am I just keep on fooling with this? You know, something else I could be doing. What else? But the Lord have not released me to let this go.
That's right. He's going to bless you, and He's going to use some of us to be a blessing to you. And a lot of times we get excited about what people are saying, but there's some things God wants us to do. Now, you give a platform from many of us that come on the radio. And come on, and God has given me this ministry, and you use us in that. God wants some of us that have the means to be a blessing to you. And that's why and a lot of things can be done, and we can alleviate some of the problems, especially those in ministry, if we really think like givers and think differently. A lot of us, we're so excited about what God has given us to do, and then when we take part in someone else's, we ought to be able to impart something and be a blessing. So God has moved on me. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit has given me, and I'll share this. I haven't shared this with anyone. The Lord, I was walking the other day, some time ago, and the Lord was saying, I got 50 churches I want you to be a blessing to, and I want you to give them at least $5,000 each. So I said, well, Lord, if you want me to do that, that means you're going to give me some money. And I, you know, just having a conversation, I said, the Lord, don't give me just, because 50 times 5 is $250,000. Don't just give me $250,000. Lord, give me enough for my family and myself, too. So that means God's going to prosper me. God's going to prosper me, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. I ain't going to make no fanfare. And then it's really going to be those of us, those people that's doing ministry. You know, a lot of us love to give an offering to, and nothing against a prosperous ministry, but there's a lot of people out here. There's a lot of women, a lot of men that has been preaching the gospel, preaching the truth. They probably only have a few people.
That's
and they're feeling, should I really be keep doing this? And
that's
this is
true.
One way that God is going to use me, not just me, but others, to strengthen your hand. And all I'm going to say is God told me to give you this to tell you to keep going. He likes what you're doing. Keep going. I mean, some churches don't even get $5,000 a year, all year.
That's right.
And they're preaching every day. They're preaching every Sunday as much as they can. And they're working on their job. They're trying to do something. People come in and need them, you know. And so this is the way that God is going to say to these people, I see you. I know what you're doing.
Lord have mercy.
And I want to compliment you. So I'm just glad if God gives the heart and the mind to me, that means he's going to give me the money.
Glory.
I'm excited.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited. Because he ain't going to tell me to do something I can't afford to do it.
Hey, you're no bullshit. Yay. Glory.
Let me say a prayer for you. But I'm coming your way, evangelist. I'm going to come.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to be a blessing to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Lord is going to use us in a mighty way. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this time that we've spent with our friends and our family, sharing in your gospel. Open up our understanding. Let us live. Graciously, this word that you've so graciously given us. And Lord, let us seek knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we may go forth to put a smile on your face.
Yes, Lord.
It's your word that makes the difference, and that's our lifestyle. You called us to be sons. Let us live. You said, I have called you gods, but you shall die like men. Lord, I refuse to die like a man.
Ah.
I must function as a God, a son of God. And I thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus, strengthen us, empower us, and bless us. And thank you for my dear sister being this instrument and this catalyst being used. Open the financial doors, the emotional doors. Bless her children, her offspring. You promised her that her leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever she does shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, I speak blossoming all over her ministry, all over her life, the life of her children, the concern she has for her grandchildren, her granddaughter, this last one that went to school, going to school. Bless her.
Give her
instruction. You see her, find her, and bless all issues that's concerning her life and those she loves.
Yeah.
Comfort and fix them.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you.
God bless you all. God be with you.
We love you.
And I'll be talking to you in a couple of days.
All right. Give our best to your wife. Hallelujah.
I certainly will.
We appreciate you so very much. God bless you. We'll see you
all. You'll be meeting everybody soon.
Amen. Amen. We're looking for that. We're looking for that great fellowship. Amen. I'm looking forward to that in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' name. All right. God bless. Yes.
Tammy, thank God for you. We're going to close out with you. School again. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name. Jesus, help me to bless that wonderful name. Oh, no other name. Come on and bless that wonderful name. Help me to bless that wonderful name. healings in the name of, oh, no other name. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Hallelujah. Yes, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Satan. Hey, tell me who can stand. Oh, when call on his great name, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we have the victory. Oh, I know it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, we have. Hallelujah. Yes, it's in the name of Jesus. Satan will have to flee. Oh, tell me who can stand when we call on him. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have the victory. Oh, and what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, the angels bow before him. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, and Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God. Oh, the angels bow before him. What a mighty God.
Presence of the Lord.
died for me. So glad you shed your blood just for me. So glad you rose for me, sweet Jesus. Yeah. Sweet Jesus, Jesus, help me sing,
Jesus.
What is done?